Hello and welcome to the programme. I'm Daniela Ozorova and we begin with a brief domestic news bulletin. On a one-day visit to the Czech Republic, Austrian Chancellor Wolfgang Schüssel warned Czechs against rejecting the EU constitution in a national referendum. He said such a move would harm the small and medium-sized members of the EU and would be a major step back for Europe. His Czech counterpart, Stanislav Gross, agreed that putting the constitution in question would be a big mistake, which would isolate the Czech Republic from the EU mainstream. Czech politicians are divided over the EU constitution. Although the Czech coalition government supports it, the country's main opposition party of right-wing Civic Democrats, as well as President Klaus, are opposed to it. As regards bilateral issues, the Austrian Chancellor said his country was not considering opening its labour market to Czech citizens for the time being, but that it wanted to improve conditions for Czechs commuting to work in Austria. The two heads of government also agreed to take joint steps to deal with the excessive lorry transport problem here in Central Europe. This would mean exerting joint pressure for a reduction of lorry transport in favour of rail transport. Austria has already introduced an electronic toll on its highways. The Czech Republic is planning to do so in late 2006, early 2007. Parliament's Foreign Affairs Committee has criticised the government for allegedly giving too little humanitarian aid to developing countries and the tsunami-devastated region in Southeast Asia. The head of the committee, Vladimir Laštůvka, said that the sums earmarked for humanitarian aid did not correspond to the country's economic status. He did not specify how much higher the donations should be. The Czech Republic contributed 700 million crowns to the EU Development Fund last year. In the wake of the tsunami disaster, the government earmarked 15 million crowns for humanitarian aid and another 200 million for reconstruction. Czechs have collected over 269 million crowns in public donations. An Olomouc regional court has rehabilitated the former counterintelligence agent Vladimir Huchin, clearing him of charges of illegal possession of weapons that he was to have committed almost 30 years ago. The judge ruled that since the weapons in his possession were not fully functional, Huchin did not commit any crime. Huchin said he was satisfied with a verdict. In 1977, Huchin was convicted to 9 months in prison by the communist authorities for allegedly collecting weapons and explosives to be used against the regime. He denied the allegations. I'm Daniela Ozorová, and that's the end of the news.
Listening to Radio Prague's English service and Andy Tassiadu. Coming up today, how is the Czech Republic's mobile children's hospital faring in Sri Lanka? The Czech government consolidates its role in EU security policy, and Czechs are voting to find out who was the greatest Czech ever. This up next, and the Czech film industry has made quite a good name for itself in the world, and productions like Closely Watched Trains or Kolya have even been honoured with the Oscar. But how do local filmmakers manage to be this successful when the industry is suffering a large financial crisis? And how popular are local productions in the Czech Republic itself? Find out more in today's Arts. Stay tuned. A Czech mobile children's hospital has just started working in the city of Galle in Sri Lanka. The experienced 21-member medical and technical team arrived in the tsunami-hit region on Tuesday. By Friday morning, all the tents had been put up and furnished with medical equipment to welcome the first patients. Pavla Horáková has more.
The medical team, sent to Sri Lanka by the charity Hand for Help, has recent experience from rescue operations in earthquake-stricken regions of Turkey and Iran. Their children's hospital in the Sri Lankan city of Galle is meant to treat cases not necessarily directly related to the tsunami disaster, but it will take some of the burden off the shoulders of the local doctors. Besides that, the Czech team have built a maternity unit, which is due to start working shortly, once a group of Czech obstetricians arrive. Jaromír Dolanský is the head of the Czech team.
Já jsem včera navštívil porodnici a myslím, že to byl velmi, velmi silný zážitek, kdy ty ženy...
I paid a visit to the local maternity hospital yesterday and it was quite a powerful experience. The women in labor are living in appalling conditions, either just lying on a rug on a concrete floor or two or three sharing one bed. The Sri Lankan authorities have asked us to help there, so we will try to do our best to improve the situation.
The Czech medical unit had been originally invited by the Sri Lankan authorities to come and help out just for 3 months, but it now looks as though they might stay for much longer.
It'll all depend on how much money we'll be able to get, because if we stay here for longer, the costs will increase. We have now been asked to stay for a year, maybe even longer. The Sri Lankan health minister has asked us to build a more lasting facility, again in the inflated tents, which are very popular here because no one has probably ever seen them before. It would involve buying more new inflatable tents, which we could leave here, and also more instruments and equipment.
The Hand for Help organization is already in talks with other Czech charities and the Senate over additional funding. The team, composed of doctors, nurses, technicians and cooks, will be rotated regularly. Doctors will take monthly turns.
Thanks, Pavla. The Czech government is increasingly taking a more proactive role in the external affairs of the European Union. One of the focal points of Czech interest seems to be the EU common foreign and security policy, especially in relation to consolidating peace in the Balkans. The special coordinator of the EU Stability Pact for Southeastern Europe, Erhard Busek, visited Prague this week in order to discuss future engagement of the Czech Republic in the Balkans. Majda Agovic has the details.
Prague will host the meeting of the Stability Pact for Southeastern Europe in November of this year. According to the agreement between the pact coordinator Erhard Busek and the Czech Deputy Foreign Minister Jan Winkler, main topics for discussion will include the transformation of the arms industry in the Western Balkans, European integration in the region, and an exchange of experiences from the Czech transition period. The Stability Pact was founded in 1999 by the European Union with the goal of promoting regional democracy and peace in Southeastern Europe. It holds 2 annual meetings, and the fact that the next one will be held in Prague, moving outside the Balkan region for the first time, is considered very important. Jan Winkler from the Czech Foreign Ministry.
This has confirmed that the interests and responsibilities are shifting in the direction of the new EU member states.
The Czech Republic has placed the Western Balkans as one of its top foreign policy priorities. According to official figures, during the past 5 years, the Czech government has spent some 2 billion crowns, an equivalent of $87 million, for the renewal of the Western Balkan countries. More than half of that amount was spent on the consolidation of Kosovo, including the Czech military presence in the province as well. Austrian diplomat Erhard Busek, the current head of the Stability Pact, welcomes and appreciates the involvement of the Czech Republic in the renewal of Southeastern Europe, adding that the region is an attractive opportunity for Czech business.
The role of the new member states within the European Union concerning Southeast Europe is an outstanding positive one. The real reason is, besides all the difficulties and economic limits and minutes on budgets, they have a kind of empathy for transformation. Difficult it is and what experiences they made and in getting a lot of assistance, especially from the Czech Republic.
But the task lying ahead of them is not an easy one. While Romania are scheduled to enter the European Union in 2007, the Western states have to work more than that.
I think the progress of Croatia is quite impressive, besides the fact of La Hague. This is another question. They won't join the European Union in 2007, but maybe, I think, not so far off from this date. And we are expecting that things are moving in Macedonia, but it has only started. The other countries, besides Albania, are involved in certain internal problems.
Special coordinator of the EU Stability Pact for Southeastern Europe, Erhard Busek, ending that report by Majda Agovic. A much-publicized new poll to find out who Czechs feel was the greatest person this country has ever produced has been causing quite a stir here in recent weeks. Radio Prague's Colleen O'Connor has this report on a survey that has set many Czech tongues wagging.
Dámy a pánové, přivítejte nejvýznamnější osobnost Čech, Moravy a Slezska. Volte největšího Čecha.
The sound of a television advertisement calling on all Czechs to vote for the greatest Czech of all time. The ballot is being organised by Czech television, following the same model as that used for similar polls in Germany and Britain last year. The British and German polls generated much excitement in their respective countries, and Czechs are also enthusiastically discussing whom they think was the best ever Czech. Although prominent figures in Czech history, such as Václav Havel and Tomáš Masaryk, are expected to feature strongly in the final reckoning, the poll also gives people a chance to remember the contribution of Czechs who might not have such a high profile. Indeed, early voting has thrown up a few surprises already, with Jaroslav Hašek's fictional character, the good soldier's fake, seemingly a popular choice for many, even though the poll is meant to be restricted to real people. Another imaginary Czech who is being touted as a potential winner is Jara Zimmermann, a supposedly great Czech prodigy created by the writers Zdeněk Zverák and Jiří Šebánek. He is usually portrayed as a jack-of-all-trades type of figure who has lived through many hilarious incarnations as an inventor, opera composer and playwright, among other things. Such surprising choices have only served to spice up the debate and increase interest in the project. Although many people see the poll as an amusing diversion, there are some in the local media who have already begun to dissect the meaning behind people's choices and what it says about Czechs and how they see themselves. Voting will continue until May, after which Czech TV will produce a documentary on each personality who makes it into the top 10 before a final selection is made in June. Until that time, the vote is going to be a major topic of conversation for Czechs as they agonise and argue over just who has made the greatest contribution to Czech life. To get a flavour of what might be going through their minds, I went onto the streets of Prague and asked the people I met who they would choose as the greatest ever Czech.
I guess Tomáš Masaryk, because he managed to bring Czechs together and to do the first republic.
I voted for Václav Havel just because I think he's the symbol of my time. I studied political science, so I think without him I could never do that.
I'm going to say someone purely because I don't think anyone else is going to say this name, but it's a guy called Karel Kryl, and he is an absolutely fantastic folk singer in the Czech Republic. He spent many years depressed and sad about the situation in the Czech Republic, and there's a pain and wonder in his voice and in his melodies that I really think if he was an English person, an American, he would be known as a kind of Bob Dylan type figure. So my choice is Karel Kryl.
I didn't vote yet, but I'm going to vote for Jara Zimmermann because I think he's a typical Czech personality, which is very cosmopolitan, been everywhere, kind of participated on all these wonderful projects, and I adore him. He was the biggest Czech personality ever.
Jara Zimmermann, who was the biggest inventor of all times, and he was a bit unlucky, that's why you probably haven't heard of him. He invented light bulb, but the thing is, he didn't manage to get to the office in time to get a patent for it, and he was just very, very good.
You're not the first person to say Jara Zimmermann today. Why do Czechs love him so much?
Okay, because the humor about Jara Zimmermann is very kind of clever, black humor, and it kind of goes back to the history. It plays a lot with the words and stuff, and it's really good. You should check it out.
That report by Colleen O'Connor, and you'll be hearing a lot more on that subject in the coming months. But Radio Prague would also love to know who you, our listeners, think is the greatest ever Czech and why. So if there's someone who comes to mind, please put it down on paper and send it off to the English section at 12099 Prague 2 in the Czech Republic, or send us an email to english@radio.cz. Your suggestions will be read out in our mailbox program. And before we look into the plight of the Czech film industry in this week's arts, let me remind you that instead of our usual weekend programs, we'll be broadcasting a special two-part documentary this weekend in cooperation with BBC Radio 3 and Open Productions. In We Still Breathe Their Air, we meet Romani writers from the Czech Republic and the United Kingdom who share a desire to see Roma culture recognized and respected.
But on some of our times and frequencies, we will be airing this week's edition of Inside Central Europe, our regular co-production with five other stations in the region. Among other stories, we'll see how Slovenia has reacted to the re-election of Croatia's President Stipe Mesic, how Slovakia's High Tatra Mountains are recovering from the devastation caused by high winds last year, and how two people have fulfilled their dream of being the first Hungarians to reach the South Pole. But besides this weekend's specials, Radio Prague has also prepared a number of special features and reports that'll run throughout the next week to commemorate the victims of the Holocaust. And that's in honor of Holocaust Memorial Day on Thursday, January 27th. Every feature next week will be looking at a different subject relating to the Holocaust. In Monday's Talking Point, for example, we'll be reflecting on the life of Peter Ginz, whose recently discovered diaries have been published in Prague and will be available in Czech bookstores next month.
Peter Ginz was one of about 135,000 Jews and was deported to Terezín when he was 14 years old. And they were gradually sent to annihilation camps in the east. So he spent two years in Terezín, and after 2 years he was sent to Auschwitz. He was an exceptional boy with exceptional talent, and his drawings and diaries, which are preserved, testify to the fact how exceptional he was.
The director of the Jewish Museum in Prague there, Leo Pavlat, introducing us to Peter Ginz. And in his diaries, Peter Ginz describes what life was like in Prague just before the Jewish community was transported to the special camp set up by the Nazis. And join us on Wednesday when we take a tour of the large fortress of Terezín, just next to the Jewish ghetto, at which prisoners suffered horrible conditions at the hands of the Nazis. And in honor of the thousands of Roma men, women and children who were also persecuted during the Second World War, we'll be bringing you a special on the Roma Holocaust on Thursday. So be sure to tune in. But now it's time for us to round off the program with a weekly arts program, today with Kate Barrett.
Co se vám na pití nejvíc líbí?
Ten klid, ten mír, taková ta velká pohoda, kdy člověk leží ožralý na zemi a teď to všecko, ten klid a mír do něho stoupí a je tam člověk rozpláclý a je středem vesmíru.
You're listening to the soundtrack of Czech director Petr Zelenka's 2002 film Year of the Devil, a film which won great acclaim here in the Czech Republic, winning 7 of the country's Film and Television Academy Awards, including Best Film. While Czech films are not often shown abroad, the film industry here is an extremely active and creative one, which produces nearly 20 films every year. That's in a country with a population of just 10 million. And this population has a passion for homegrown cinema. Director Petr Zelenka.
What's special here in Czech Republic is that the audience really likes Czech film, which is great because we really have massive support of the audience. When you have top 10 films every year, I think at least 5 of them would be Czech. And sometimes top 2-3 films would be Czech, which means a successful Czech film gets bigger audience here than Star Wars or whatever.
The Czech share on the domestic film market is very high, at 25%. I asked Jana Černík at the Czech Film Center in Prague just what it is about Czech films that have audiences here so captivated.
I think I would say that this is a certain longing for stories they know, which are close to them, to see their own actors and actresses on screen. They are making a difference between the Czech films and the rest of it.
At 30, Vratislav Schleyer is one of the youngest producers in the Czech Republic. He's produced 3.5 films over the last 3 years. His latest film is called Shark in the Head and revolves around the daily life of a simple man who interacts with the world as it unfolds outside his ground floor window.
There's a certain type of film that works on the Czech audience. It's always a sort of drama comedy, something, you know, nice but funny, maybe shows some terrible things but still you can laugh. And that's what probably we like here. I don't know. That's why it works.
So finding an audience is not a problem in this country, but finding money to produce films is. The political and economic transition has hit the film industry particularly hard. The only supporting institution for the production of Czech films is the State Film Fund, and it provides just 2.5 million euros. The average budget for a Czech film is between 500,000 and a million euros. Michal Bregant, the dean of the Czech Republic's internationally renowned film school, FAMU, says the lack of financial sources in the film world is a big problem, but that new solutions need to be found.
Because this is what is limiting all the projects. People in this country, as well as in other former socialist or communist countries, people were used to the conditions for work in the nationalized film industry or state-monopolized film industry. Now, the conditions have changed profoundly, but I always say it's been 15 years now, so we have to be a little bit kind of relaxed already. We should work on a new level. We can't complain all the time about how difficult time we are facing and how terrible the situation is.
But Bregant says the government is uniquely unsupportive of the film industry.
On the other hand, it's true that in the Czech Republic we have, compared to, for example, Hungary, they got 13 million euros from the state budget into the film industry just recently. But it's very, very far away from what we are experiencing here, because the Czech government is not giving a single cent into the film industry. You know probably that there is this state fund for the support of the of Czech film, but it's state by name only. The state is not putting anything into it.
Bregant says the money in the State Film Fund comes from the royalties from older Czech films and from 1 crown from each movie ticket sold in theaters. Last year brought more bad news. Czech Television, which co-produced at least 90% of Czech films, drastically reduced its co-production activities. Commercial television station TV Nova moved in to fill the gap, but not to the same extent. A new audiovisual law, which would provide more financial support, is making its way through Parliament at the moment, but it's still unclear whether it will pass. So how does this show go on, and how does the film community here produce so much with so little? Jana Černík again.
And I think this is a little bit the Czech miracle, because I would say that the people work for very little money. Regarding the Czech film, they earn lots of money when they're working for foreign production companies, but they have a lot of energy. They are enthusiastic and they want to shoot Czech films. But this is a little bit a time problem. I really don't know how long this is going to last.
Martin Pošta is a production student at FAMU. He talks about the importance of the legacy of film in the Czech Republic and the effect that filmmakers of the new wave, directors like Věra Hytulová and Miloš Forman, have had on managing the present financial crisis.
Maybe we're still living with this wave and having in our minds that Czech film is good and something really important. That's why there is, for example, two prices that you charge as a labor, either shooting a film or even shooting a commercial. When you shoot a commercial, you would charge different price than you charge when you're shooting a film. That's kind of loyalty to Czech film, I guess.
Most Czech filmmakers keep their budgets understandably low. It means that even for well-established filmmakers like Petr Zelenka, you have to be fiscally creative. Roman Polanski was recently in Prague filming Oliver Twist at the Berendorf Studios. He said that the studios here were so incredible that they should be protected and considered a national heritage site. Ironically, talented locals like Zelenka cannot use them. Petr Zelenka again.
The films we make are sometimes so cheap that we can't afford the studios. So they're basically very often shot on locations, not inside studios. Well, I've never shot myself in a studio. Never. I couldn't afford it because you have to build a set there, rent it for the building period, then you shoot that, then you have to dismantle it again. So you end up with at least, I don't know, 2 weeks of renting the studio there. That's too much.
Despite the challenges, Czechs continue to produce interesting films with a particular efficiency and strong will to make it work. Martin Pošta again.
I think there is such a big film tradition that people have it in their hearts and their minds, and they're really willing to do something for Czech film, and that's why it is possible. And there's, as I said, a lot of enthusiasm put into this and a lot of effort, and I guess otherwise it just... I don't know if it could work in France. I don't know if it could work in England. I'm not sure.
We'll leave you now with music from another new Czech film. This time, it's from director Maria Prohaskova's feature debut, Shark in the Head.
The Arts with Kate Barrett. And that's all from the Radio Prague English Language Service. Send us your comments or questions to the Radio Prague English section at 12099 Prague 2 in the Czech Republic or to english@radio.cz if it's an email. Our very useful website can be found on www.radio.cz/English. I'm Dita Asidu. Thanks for joining us. Take care. Bye-bye.
Darmo se ty trápíš, můj milý synečku, nenosím já tebe, nenosím srdéčku, přece tvůj já nebudu ani jednu hodinu.
Co pak sobě myslíš, má milá panenko, vždyť ty jsi to moje rozbilé srdéko a ty musíš být jima, lebo mi tě mám bude.
A já se udělám malou veveričku a já ti uskočím z dubu na jedličku, přece tvoja jednu hodinu.
A já chovám doma takú sekerečku, ona mi podetne důbek i jedličku a ty musíš být jima, lebo mi tě mám bude.
Přece tvoja nebudu ani jednu hodinu.
A já chovám doma takovou budičku, co na ní ulovím nějakou rybičku. A ty přece budeš má, lebo mi tě mám.